Psychology Podcast brought to you by the Vice Indian. I'm one of your hosts, Jesus Acevedo Jr., and I'm joined by the Zodiac GM. And Zodiac, I want to kick things off and just ask a very super generic question, but a fun one. It's how much have you enjoyed this year's NBA playoffs, you know, with some of the close games that we've had? We've had some blowouts, you know. Well, I guess we don't have to talk about those, but just in general, you know, talk to me about these NBA playoffs.
Oh, I love it. It's crazy. My favorite series so far has been the Clippers. I don't know. There's something about that series that just stands out. The rest are kind of like, it's all right. Like the Indiana one, Indiana Bucks series. I mean, there's no Dame. Giannis is
injured. Right,
right. I kind of just throw that off the side. It's like, it's kind of junk, you know. But I also like the Knicks and also the Knicks series as well. So
there's a potential there with the we could have another Knicks Pacers series, right? If Pacers take care of business and Knicks take care of business, a Knicks Pacers semi conference final is in the cards, and we know the history that those two teams have. And you have a player and you know Haliburton, a shooter, you know, not like Reggie Miller, right? A different shooter, different player, but still, you know. And then you have Jalen Brunson with the Knicks and them boys and Villanova boys over there. So that could be an interesting semifinal. But yes, it's interesting you bring up Clippers and Mavs because that is a star-packed playoff series. Like there's maybe five or six Hall of Famers, that you could probably point to, four, five, six maybe that you can point to in that series. And that's been a pretty good series. I think that could be one series that goes seven games.
I can see that.
I can see that one going seven games. That could probably be the only series that goes seven games. That's probably the most close series that we've had. I think Knicks, 76ers, we had some close games, but I think that one, Knicks are about to take care of business for that one.
Yeah, I think so too, but we'll see.
We'll see. And you know what? One series, not necessarily that the series was hyped I'll take that back. It was hyped, but the hype ended up just turning really to one man and Anthony Edwards leading the T-Wolves in a sweep of the Phoenix Suns. So, like, I don't think anybody envisioned a sweep, you know, that the T-Wolves were going to sweep the Suns, especially with the firepower that the Phoenix Suns have, right? We're talking about Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. But these T-Wolves, these young T-Wolves, led by Anthony Edwards, a braggadocious, you know, with bravado just in your face.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, very, very like proudful pride, you know. So these T-Wolves, you know, as we look ahead, you know, these T-Wolves led by Anthony Edwards and my man Rudy Gobert, who's going to get his fourth defensive player of the year, you know, there's something to this team that I think in the next round they're going to face the Denver Nuggets, right? Once Denver takes care of business with the Lakers, if they're up 3-1 after being up 3-0. We could see them take these Nuggets team to seven games. I still see Denver winning, but I think they could push them to seven games. So, yeah, if you can remind us, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves, how they're aligned. I know I kind of alluded to with Anthony Edwards being their leader, you know, but I think they have grand potential in these playoffs, at least in the next series, you know, maybe taking the Nuggets to seven games, which I think will be a great win for them this season. But how are they aligned and how do you see them face, you know, their potential?
They have a very strong connection. I think really their strength is really from their head coach, believe it or not.
Finch,
yes,
okay.
Yes, Coach Finch has done an amazing job in handling this roster. I mean, this roster, I mean, just by looking at it on paper, I mean, to me at least, I didn't initially see it. I didn't expect them to have this strong of a team, but you have to consider they have two number one picks in this roster, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, two very strong individuals that has game. And I think with the way coach handles his defense, you have an elite defender, you know.
Yes.
That's also another plus. Their synergy, to me, I didn't think it was not great. I think it's average. But with all this talent And also the key thing is how Finch utilizes his rotation. That's a key word, rotation, to benefit in optimizing their synergy, if that makes any sense whatsoever. What I mean by that, he has three Virgos that comes off the bench that are key players for him that helps out this team drastically. It's a big time improvement once you have your players that are compatible to your head coach, and also Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. And those players are, Alexander Walker. They have Slo-Mo, and they also have Naz Reid, Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, those three are all Virgos. I mean, it's weird, but they're all compatible to a Scorpio, which is what Finch is. Advantage to
Interesting.
Virgos. Virgos are, remember, immutable, adaptable. They're coachable, They're the ones that, hey, if you tell them you need to do for them to do something, they'll do it. They're people pleasers, right? They're like perfectionists in a sense, and they will also have the ability to follow too. So I think that's an amazing thing to have on a team, So, and Coach Finch has that, and he's pretty much perfected the way he utilized rotation to his advantage, along with the strengths that he has. And unfortunately, this is what he's doing. It's exactly what the Suns should have done. I mean, I feel. I mean, that's look what happened to the Suns. They got swept because the Suns, they're very talented. And I saw them as having a better synergy overall, but it's just the way they utilize a rotation wasn't as beneficial to them like the way Finch did. And I think that's where the advantage was.
I think, and we'll get to the Suns. I definitely want to delve into the Suns and how they flamed out. But I think, something to this Minnesota is and one of the games, they brought up that, typically last season, whenever teams would go small, Minnesota would take out Rudy Gobert to play matchups, right? And they had a conversation, I don't know if sometime before the season or while the early games of the season were going on, but the announcer shared a story that Rudy Gobert and the coaches, they had a conversation, and Rudy told them, "Leave me in. I can play it." And because of that, it forced everybody to play better team defense. And it showed they were one of the best NBA's defensive teams this season, if not the best, and there were so many moments when I was watching the game against the Suns when they were switching and picking each other's man up, so there was never an open man. So the shot that the Suns took was a tough one. And even if they made it, you can go back and say, "Hey, we played a hell of a team defense, and that's just a great talent making the shot," which sometimes happened, as they face, a team with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. But for the most part, the Suns had to work so hard for what they got. It wasn't easy, and that's why I think the T-Wolves really supersede the Phoenix Suns in this sweep. And now as we transition into the Phoenix Suns, I blew it. I picked Devin Booker to win MVP. Like, I mean, I shouldn't be allowed to talk about the NBA and basketball, because
No,
I thought
don't.
this team was gonna be good. I mean, I think they bought into their own stock like how I bought into their stock. And by them, I mean Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. What was it? Devin Booker had a quote. He said, "I feel sorry for their teams. I don't know how they're going to guard us. Because if you guard me, then you got Kevin Durant, then you got Bradley Beal." So, they were buying into their own stock before they actually had to put it onto the court. And same thing with me, and I think you too, right? Because from an astrological standpoint, this team should work, right?
Exactly.
Is that
Yes.
is that fair to
Yes.
say? Remind us, how are they aligned?
Yes, definitely. I saw it right offhand. And to be very honest with you, I favored a lot of their the way I saw this team, right? Now, initially, let me break down their two best players first, okay? Kevin Durant, he is a Libra, right? Now, Devin Booker, he is a Scorpio. Now, they are opposites, okay? Let's put that out there. They are opposite energy. So, ideally, when you have your two best players, opposite energy, a lot of times, not always, of course, because there's so many other things involved, right? They don't tend to do well. But the reason why I kind of overlooked that is because of who else they got. Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, their head coach, all of these other pieces I started tacking on to who was compatible to Devin Booker, right? Because, Bradley Beal, he's a Cancer, Scorpio, works very well together, which is what Devin Booker is. And then they also added Nurkic, who's a Virgo, who's also compatible. So their synergy and strength, those three players I mentioned, is really where it's at. But unfortunately, having Kevin Durant there, I didn't think it would affect him that much, but obviously it did, because, you know, we see some of the post-game comments or some comments about Kevin Durant not fitting in well with this roster. That goes to show something. I mean, he wasn't comfortable. He mentioned that he felt like he was in the corner all the time, you know, and he wasn't used the right way, you know. But believe it or not, I personally felt if he wasn't in the, you know, in part of the lineup with those other three that has a stronger synergy, I feel like that would benefit them. But of course, you play the minutes for Kevin Durant. He is your superstar. He is your go-to guy, you know. And, you know, some teams see it, some teams don't. You know, they can get through that. But unfortunately, it created a big off balance in synergy, and it was very obvious. They couldn't overcome it. And I feel bad for Vogel. You know, he has the team, he has the talent, but he just didn't know how to utilize it to his advantage. You know, the way I would have saw it, it would have benefited him if he would have staggered his lineup, like staggered, hey, let's put Durant here with Allen, with Royce O'Neal, with Eubanks, have some sort of lineup throughout the game. It doesn't have to be starting, but throughout the game, use that to that advantage, and then you can rest Booker, you can rest Beal, you can rest Okogie, you can rest, you know, Eric Gordon, because all those, and then put them all in the game, because all those four I mentioned are compatible. You know, even Nurkic, you can have a 5-0 lineup without getting Kevin Durant involved or O'Neal involved, and you can use that to your advantage the way Minnesota does. I mean, you look at their lineups, the way they use their lineups throughout games, you see a lot of 4-1 lineups sneak up after their starters get some rest. It's unbelievable. But, you know, sometimes it is what it is. And he just, you know, by design, he probably didn't, well, obviously he doesn't notice that. He didn't think about the signs or anything like that. All he thinks about, I got to play Durant, I got to play Booker, you know, whatever combination he was looking for. But, hey, it didn't work out this time, so.
I think it's also, you know, something that needs to be said is that Kevin Durant has never really been a player that likes to play a set basketball. You know, even after he had Golden State Warriors, right, there was that quote. I'm not sure what interview he said or what podcast. He said that, you know, he wasn't such a fan of running so many sets with the Golden State Warriors. You know, and I think the way he likes to play is a lot more ISO basketball, right? And sometimes with ISO basketball, you know, you're relegating some players like Devin Booker and Bradley Beal to just kind of be standing there and not get into the flow of their shot. I mean, they're still going to get the points because they're going to have the field goal attempts. And I think also Bradley Beal, this isn't the Bradley Beal that we saw in Washington, whether he's still working himself back from that injury or whatever. Maybe, you know, I know there was that clip that went viral where Frank Vogel extended his hand and Bradley Beal slapped it. Like, I wonder, what are their two signs? Like, are they those signs where they just do not get along?
Well, first of all, they're both cancers. Okay, now,
oh, moody.
Here's the thing. Yeah, they are very moody. Yeah, and they're both water elements, and they both understand each other. But the thing is, that's the thing. They understand each other. You put them in the same boat as understanding, which is a good thing. But they're both cardinals, right? The thing about cardinals, they could butt heads at times when things are not going right, because you have two alphas in a sense, sort of like. You know, and they'll initiate some sort of emotion. In this case, hey, Bradley Beal, you can get a sense he's a little bit frustrated. So, and he's letting it show, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I definitely called the Phoenix Suns wrong. And now I wonder what they're going to do, because they pretty much hedged their whole future on these three guys, right? They have no first-round picks. They have no second-round picks for, like, I think the next two or three drafts, if I'm not mistaken. So there's already rare reports coming out that the owner, Matt Ishbia, he's like making decisions that he should not be making. Okay. You know, maybe they need a new GM or, you know, a new coach, or, you know, maybe make some moves and try to see what they can get for their stars while they still can, you know, and keep Devin Booker and maybe trade Durant. You know, maybe Durant goes back to OKC and pushes them over the top and gets his title, right? With OKC, you know. So maybe he fits with that lineup, you know. And speaking of OKC, Soda GM. I want to spike about OKC because that's one I did get right. I called that OKC was going to be a good team this season. Now, they surpassed my expectations. You know, I thought they were going to be top six. I did not expect the best number one overall seed. Granted, they have the best. They ended up with the same record as the as a defending champions, Denver Nuggets. But still, I you know, getting that number one seed with that young team, you know, Chet Holmgren's rookie year, which he'll most likely end up winning rookie of the year. But yeah, it's a testament to the franchise, the Oklahoma City Thunder, with Sam Presti, what he's been able to do. But you know, their head coach Mark Daigneault was named the coach of the year, 57-27 record in the Western Conference. And you know, I'm not sure we spoke about him. I'm sure we did whenever we're talking about OKC. But what's his sign? What's Mark's sign?
Daigneault. He is a Pisces.
Daigneault.
Yes, he is a Pisces. And check this out. So the thing with him, okay, Sam Presti, right? He's a Scorpio. He's done an amazing job. He noticed the way he builds franchises. They just tend to do good. I mean, it may take him several years, but hey, he's a mastermind at that, right?
Here's a little tidbit I read about Sam Presti, right? Somebody's doing a book, this author on NBA drafts, and he found this tidbit about Sam Presti. When he was a teenager, he emailed one of the teams, I think the Boston Celtics. He emailed the Boston Celtics with who they should draft, and he said that they should draft this kid from California named Jason Kidd. Because he says this guy has winner all over him. He's led California to its best finish in the NCAA tournament. You know, he makes winning plays. He sees plays before other teams have seen it on the court, and that he will make such a good NBA player. He'll be a leader for years to come, you know? And that was for the Boston Celtics in that draft. You know, they ended up picking somebody else, right? But just the foresight to see what kind of player Jason Kidd was going to be. You know, granted, it took Jason Kidd a couple years to like be the Jason Kidd, right? But that goes to show the eye that he had, right? The mentality. This is who the Boston Celtics chose, you know. But they even didn't have a chance because they were picking ninth. You know, they would have to trade it up because Jason Kidd went number two in that draft. They got Eric Montrose. Yeah. So, but I said to say, it just speaks to the mind of Sam Presti that he was so forward thinking like that and looking at analyzing basketball as a teenager, you know. But like you said, that's a Scorpio in him, I guess, right? I don't know.
Wait, yeah, you're right. But I tell you what, I tell you this, check it out real quick. Maybe he, you know, I suspect some people might be into astrology, some don't, because there's a trend that I've seen, you know, with some of his picks, right? He tends to pick a lot of cardinal signs.
Really?
It's strange, Durant. I mean, well, I'll take that back. I don't even know if he was the GM back when Durant was there, but if you're looking at this season, right, you have he acquired
That was on draft night. That it was the 2007 draft. That draft night, he traded. He acquired Jeff Green, the fifth overall pick, in a trade involving Ray Allen, and that sent Ray Allen from the Sonics to the Bucks.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he did draft Kevin Durant.
Okay, see, so Kevin Durant, Libra, Cardinal, right? Lou Dort, Aries, Cardinal. Jalen Williams, Aries, Cardinal. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Cancer, Cardinal. I mean,
wow.
Who knows? Saric is an Aries, also a Cardinal. I don't know. It may be just a coincidence, I'll say. But the reason why Cardinal does stand out a little bit, because this team in particular is Cardinal heavy, like that they're dominant in that particular quality, right? Now, what that is, they're initiators, they're movers, they make things happen. You know, they're not stagnant. So that's the thing about cardinal signs in general, right? And that's what a lot of this team has, that cardinal energy. So maybe not, but who knows? But he's a mastermind of building a franchise, and it goes to show So it's an amazing team what OKC has over there.
I think this is a team that's another one that I don't think who will they face in the next round? It'll be either Clippers or Dallas. I think both of those teams, either Dallas or Clippers, probably have a bit more than Oklahoma in a playoff. You know, maybe it's a 6-7 game series, but I think it'll serve them well, you know, for next season. Cause I think the Thunder are going to be a team that you're going to have to deal with at least for the next 3-4 years, because most of these guys are on rookie contracts, right? The only one not is Shea. Shea's not on a rookie contract anymore, right? I think he already got his contract. Is that?
Yeah, but they're all 25 and under. The whole starting five is 25
that's
and
what, under. That's what I'm saying. Amazing. You know, it's amazing what they've been able to do. And, you know, now here's the thing. If Kevin Durant says, hey, I would like to come back, facilitate a trade, you know, no. They could still trade. They could trade picks back to the Clipper, back to the Phoenix Suns. In exchange for Kevin Durant, perhaps, you know, but I don't know what that would do to this lineup. You know, if you you know, swap, you know, put in instead of the Australian, I'm blanking out on his name, take him out and put Kevin Durant in his place. You know what he called?
Oh, what's his name? An Australian.
Yeah, in the OKC. Who's the OKC?
Georgie Dang.
No, the other guy.
Oh, I'm way off.
You know what I'm talking about? There you go, Josh Giddey.
Josh Giddey, yeah.
Josh Giddey. Like replace Kevin Durant with Josh Giddey in that lineup. What's that look like from an astrological point? No,
no. It's nah,
they're basically both Libras.
They're both Libras. I mean,
yeah, they're both Libras.
Yeah, I you know, you can go on an angle saying, hey, Durant has more talent, this and that experience, but at this point, if they're doing good, they, you know, got the number one seed. Let them be. Let them do their thing. You know. I wouldn't do that. I mean, something is obviously gelling over there in OKC. You can see by their post games, the way they just hang out and just, they're just vibing. And it's an awesome feeling to have, I mean, to have that type of chemistry. That they have great chemistry, you know,
something,
and I think that all leads from their head coach and so forth, you know?
Something that I've read about OKC, I think this was in different articles I read, profiles back when OKC was in the in his MVP era, and even back when Kevin Durant was in his MVP era with OKC, something I remember here kind of getting from both those articles was that playing in Oklahoma City for the Oklahoma City Thunder, it felt like it was a college town, you know, and it kind of made sense because, you know, it's the only professional team out of all the major professional sports out there, you know, it's the only thing there that puts you on the national stage. So it's always packed, right? When there's a game, it is like, you know, we're spoiled here in Houston. So like, you know, we have so many different great sports that, you know, it's not an event like how it is in Oklahoma City. So for these young players, when they get drafted to Oklahoma City, it's a good transition, right? Because most of them come from great college towns that you know, support teams and that. So going to Oklahoma and playing for that, you get that sense, you know, and like you said, most of these guys are what, 22, 23, 24, so they're young players, so they're still growing. They're still growing men, you know, and being like this, there's friendships that are forming, right? The camaraderie. So, but this team, I think this team is going to be one to reckon with for the next 3-4 years, at least in the Western Conference.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. Definitely, definitely. Chet Holmgren, I think, is a key piece right there. He's the one that took him to the next level, I think.
Yes, agree.
Him and SGA have that chemistry going. You've seen the commercials? Come on. Yeah. They have it going. They have it going. So, they're on the right track.
Definitely. You know, and speaking about the Western Conference, that's how I want to finish off this episode. So, Derek, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've seen in the playoff games I've seen, right. Okay. I think to me it's clear that Denver's going to come out of the West. Like I said, their toughest matchup will probably be the T-Wolves. I think that's the remaining toughest matchup. I don't see any team in the Eastern Conference right now playing that can beat the Denver Nuggets. Is that unfair for me to say? I know you've told us all season long Denver is 5-0. They play 5-0. Even when they go to the bench, they're very 4-1. So they're still always heavily in sync. But is there any team in the Asian Conference that even comes close to what Denver has? That's in the playoffs, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Denver has great synergy. But synergy doesn't mean, hey, they're gonna win everything, because there's so many other factors too, right? It's just Boston, they have the talent to definitely do that. And also don't overlook the Knicks. The Knicks have a sneaky good lineup, and notice how they're doing very, very well without Randle, because Randle is an opposite energy. But you know, having Hartenstein in that starting lineup sort of completes, quote unquote, Brunson, you know, Anunoby, Hart. It sort of solidifies that synergy that they have over there in New York, and I see the Knicks as being top three best overall synergy.
Wow.
You can even have an argument with them since Kawhi's out, as currently having the second best synergy behind the Nuggets. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because Clippers, they have a strong synergy because all their strength and synergy are like their best players and the head coach. But with Kawhi out and some adjustments in their rotation lineup, they take a little, you know, just tad down, step down in synergy because Kawhi being out. But the Knicks, on the other hand, don't overlook them. They're going to be a sneaky good team. Pacers are streaky, you know, but I feel like once they face a team like the Knicks, they might face it might be a bigger challenge for them to overcome. And then Celtics, I still see them being a strong team. So if anything, you know, I'm not saying Denver might even just be in the, you know, in the NBA Finals. We just mentioned two teams, OKC and T-Wolves could be up there too. I mean, one of these three teams from the Northwest Division could possibly be in the NBA playoffs. Any combination of that, you know, Thunder, Nuggets, or T-Wolves. And, you know, we'll see how that series goes over there in Dallas and Clippers. But, you know. So we'll see. It's a fun playoff. I mean, Dallas is also each and every team has their own strength, because Dallas could be one of those streaky teams as well. They can just catch on fire. You see what Irving did? I mean, he almost brought that whole game, the last game that they played, by himself. I mean,
by himself. But then again, we saw vintage James Harden, you know, step up where
that little floater.
That floater, he reminded people, you know, that hey, he can still score. You know, he's been having to do different things, but with Kawhi out, they're gonna have to need him, because that's what's interesting about that Clippers Mavericks. I think that's the only remaining series that I think can legit go seven games, you know, because
I would love for it to go to seven games.
Yeah, I think every fan would, because look, I mean, Celtics just won, so they're up 3-1. They're gonna get that series. Cavaliers Magic, to me, that's a toss up. I know you say you don't care about them, but I mean, who do you got on that one? I think I'm gonna go with Magic. I think Magic pulled it over. I think they have just enough.
It's a toss up.
That one's a toss up.
Well, actually,
you know?
Let me take this back. You do a great job of making predictions. So more than anything, who do you pick?
So okay, Celtics. It'll be Celtics finishing off. Cavaliers, okay. Magic, that was two. I do think Magic are going to pull through, and they're going to grab that. I think Paul Banchero, he's been doing a great job with the Wagner brothers. Then, of course, Pacers and then Knicks. I think that Pacers-Knicks, that's going to be a hell of a series. That's going to be a good series. And then Celtics-Magic, Boston's going to be Magic. So it'll be Boston. Okay. And I don't know, the Pacers and Knicks. I kind of think it might be Boston-Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's kind of what I think we're leaning to. It's Boston Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then, of course, in the Western, you're going to have T-Wolves Nuggets. I've already said the T-Wolves are going to lose to the Nuggets in seven. So Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And then I think it's going to be Thunder.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be that Clippers Mavericks to me is such a toss-up. Like, who do you have? What are we looking at? Who's stronger, Astrology? You said Clippers, right? But that's with Kawhi out. Are they still as strong?
They're okay, but their best players are, you know, Harden, Paul George. That duo, strong synergy. So is Coach Lou. But other than that, that's really. I forgot the center, Zubac. So they three out of their top five. I mean, their starters are compatible, but the rest of the rotation is kind of. It's kind of neutral. So, but you know, the thing about the Mavericks is that they have they have the right positional pieces to make a strong synergy lineup at any point in the game. They really do. That's a scary thing. And Kidd, I've noticed he's done a good job on some of that, but he does utilize Kidd and he does utilize Irving and Doncic a lot together, and then Lively in there and Gafford. But notice whenever Doncic plays with PJ Washington, they play well together, you know, because that's a strong connection. So it is a toss-up. It is a toss-up.
I'm going to say Clippers. I'm going to say Clippers.
Okay.
Clippers. And then Clippers. Between Thunder and Clippers, I think Clippers. I think it'll be Clippers and Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, but then Nuggets take care of their business easily. So it'll be Nuggets.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think it's going to be Nuggets Knicks. I think you're right. I think it's going to be Nuggets Knicks, but I think the Nuggets beat them. I think that'll be a big, big finals if it's Nuggets Knicks.
Yeah. And Porzingis went down today, so
he did.
We don't know to what extent that is. The
that's right.
Might be. So
that's right. Well,
yeah, I love it. So
we got we'll have a lot to talk about on the next episode, because that is the all we have for this week's episode. Zodiac, any final words for today's episode?
Follow us on Hoopstrology and the Zodiac GM on Twitter X.
And follow the Bayou Cityan. And follow me, Jesus_Acevedo Jr. And don't forget to subscribe. See ya.